Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. It has indeed been a long journey. I'm your host, Ryan. Jocelyn is off this evening. She's got no family in town this time, but friends in town. So she is taking the night off to socialize while we hold down the fort, or the inn, I guess. Anyways, let's explain who is joining me this evening. You may have remembered his voice from last week and a couple weeks before that. Josh Cook from the AnyKey Gaming Network. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you, Ryan?
I'm fantastic. I spent a majority of the week traveling for work, so I haven't been able to play a lot of games. And then this weekend, I'm getting prepped for a Jack and Jill. I wore my shirt. I'm going to step up. So for those watching the video version when it goes live, I'll also post an image on the post. But anyways, look at this. Oh, yeah. You can't see it, Josh, but it's definitely a microphone. And it says groom, and I got a little bow tie. So I'm pretty happy about that. I just realized that probably will be for nobody until we get this video posted. But anyways, Josh, I know you can.
I'm watching the live stream.
Oh, are you? See it. It looks good, eh?
You just had to give me like 15 seconds before I'm allowed to comment on it.
Perfect. Well, do you think?
Looks good.
Yeah.
Very snappy, sir.
Thank you. I've been watching a lot of Doctor Who, so I know how to pull off a bow tie. Yeah. So what's up? What have you been playing, Josh? You were on last week. You were talking about some Vigi games. Have you played any Vigi games since then?
Well, now that Xbox is actually releasing free games like everyone else in the world for their gold members, I downloaded Wacom Melee's Super Turbo Championship Edition, I believe is the full name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's a great game. I played on PC a bit before they released the Super Edition, actually made by a Canadian studio out of Toronto. Fun facts. I don't know. I do a podcast about Canadian versus American stuff, so I've kind of made it my goal in life to know everything that's Canadian. It bothers Paul to no end, annoys everybody else. So I don't know who it really services besides, you know, the people I mentioned. But no, Guacamelee, what is it about? It sounds sort of like that bad Jack Black movie.
Well, it's not bad.
Oh, good.
Basically, you're a luchador, like a Mexican wrestler. Mm-hmm. And your town gets attacked by some Lord of the Undead of some sort, and you pretty much use your wrestling prowess to save the day and save the damsel in distress.
All right. So, all right. Now, this game has... I've played... From what I remembered, it's sort of like a Metroid-type game, right? Because it's got the map, and it's got the unlockable things and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, it's got moves that you unlock. I guess it's... Like, I wouldn't really put it on the level of a Metroid type game just because it is kind of easy, but it's a very relaxing, fun kind of easy.
I do recall that being an emotion I felt while playing it. It was very relaxing and very satisfying because you never felt like you were being affected negatively by the stuff going on screen. Like, you were always the powerful one. And something you haven't mentioned is, man, that game is kind of funny. It's got some comedy.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, for me, I come from Southern California, which is for the most part Northern Mexico. Mm-hmm. So seeing all the Hispanic Mexican themes kind of brings me back home. And I do enjoy the small bits of humor they have in it. It's a beautiful game too. So,
mm-hmm. I was going to say, I wonder, if they did any work to it to get the next gen version looking a little better. Like, have you kind of looked into that fact, or?
I haven't looked at any of the previous versions, but I know this one is very crisp, very detailed, good, very smooth. So
my favorite thing about that game is the goat that that is basically your trainer, I guess. Funny. He's more so just a person who is from like an ancient race. And this is a direct reference to Metroid. Like, you destroy the Chozo statues.
Yes.
Or I don't even know if they call them that. But essentially, it is the Metroid Chozo statues. And every time you destroy one, the goat comes in, and or a guy walks in and turns into a goat, or a goat walks in and turns into a guy. I can't remember.
It's goat walks in, turns into a guy.
Okay, yeah, he turns into an old guy, and he says, "Hey, that statue's older than me and you combined, and you just destroyed it. I hope that move was worth it," and then walks off.
I was cracking up every time I met him.
Yeah, it's my favorite part about that game, is the writing for that goat dude. I'm super pumped to hear that you're enjoying it. Now, I can't believe it's already free on Xbox One. Like, didn't they just come out with this?
Well, I know the game itself has been out for a while. I don't know about this newer edition, but yeah. I mean, it's for Xbox Gold members, so I guess treat us well. I don't know.
Well,
I'm not going to complain because I've been loving the game so far.
Now, you have an Xbox One, and we're going to touch on that later on in our topic of the week. But I'm interested to hear, you know, you're probably sitting at the roughly half-year mark of owning the system. How do you feel about the current state of the Xbox One?
It's a little bit of a lull right now. I mean, when
as
it first
is the
came,
PS4, let's be honest.
Yeah, when it first came out, I got a few titles that I've thoroughly enjoyed. They just recently, I think June was the first month where they finally decided, hey, we should give something to our Xbox Gold members. And I've got two games off of that. And then come the fall is when all those big titles are released. So I think from now until fall, it's in a bit of a lull. But if they keep giving free games like Guacamelee out, I'm not going to complain too much.
The PlayStation 4 is in a bit of a rut as well. I think the biggest release coming out in the next bit is for both systems is Destiny, in which the beta did start yesterday. I have beta codes. We might even be able to give some out on either on the show. I don't know if there's much interest in the show. Maybe the chat room can chime in and say, hey, I want a beta key. I have a couple. But we'll definitely be giving them out on Twitter for you folks. But I'm going to give it a shot this weekend once I've had a chance to recover from the Jack and Jill, because I'm sure people will be doing humiliating things to me.
Is it true for Destiny that they had Peter Dinklage redo his lines?
You know, I don't think they redid his lines. I don't know yet. I haven't seen it. But I know that the infamous "That Wizard Came From the Moon" has been re-recorded. And
I saw that video. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and let's be honest. It's an Android, and that's how Androids sound. But obviously they hadn't quite finished the modular sort of, like, voice-changing thingy programming. I don't know how they do it, but...
it didn't sound like an Android. It just sounded like he was bored.
Yeah. Most Androids usually are. I mean, if you were to be able to think at a billion times per second... You know, like, I think you'd be bored, too, just by directing some poor schmo through the desert of Mars or whatever.
I think if you had access to the internet, you could be entertained.
I don't know. It depends how vast the internet is in the future. I mean, our current internet probably has bounds that an AI would be able to consume in a mere matter of minutes. But I feel like... you wish is asking what system... I'm pretty sure the beta, it's PS4, PS3. So if you're interested, it's PS4, PS3. I have a code that is valid for either. What was I going to say before you wish rudely? No, I didn't really interrupt us. the re-recording, the AI. I mean, could you imagine what Guilty Spark 343 would sound like without that? Well, actually, he was already pretty animated. I don't know. I think that's the thing that really shocked people about, Peter Dinklage, is that Bungie's usually really good at creating dynamic-sounding AI robots. So, kind of shocked us all.
And I think it came off the heels of... I can't even remember the name of the show now.
we're doing so well.
Game of Thrones, that one.
Yeah, well, you hear Peter Dinklage and you're immediately drawn to his... acting in Game of Thrones, and it's like, that's not the Peter Dinklage I love.
Because I think that whole thing came out right after the one where he was in the courtroom, so he had like that epic monologue, and then it's, these wizards came from the moon.
I will report back next week as to whether they've corrected that issue. But Guacamelee, back to our game before I rudely brought us away from it. How far are you? Have you beaten it yet? Or
I haven't beaten it yet. I probably played for maybe an hour or two.
Okay.
We had like some busy stuff going on Thursday, so I just kind of sat down. I was like, you know, I downloaded this game and never tried it. Let me see what it's like. So, like I said, it was a very nice, relaxing experience to play a game that wasn't so crazy difficult, but was still fun at the same time.
Yeah, which was kind of partially the opposite of what we experienced last night when we were playing Titanfall. Because, first of all, sorry folks, patrons out there who are entitled to our Gamers in Game Night and able to watch it, and everybody's entitled to watch it, but I feel like it's more special for you if you're a patron, but... evidently, the new version of Origin messes with XSplit, which seems like a really bad idea on EA's part. So we were unable to stream. What basically would happen is the if you had XSplit running, and if you watched last night, you know this happened, you would load up Titanfall, hit play, and it would sit at the concept art loading screen. And it was so infuriating. I was swearing up a storm. I was pissed off. It set me off for the rest of the evening. Finally, I realized that, oh, I had to close XSplit. So, yeah. But we played a little bit, and we died a lot. I died a lot. We tried out that new mode.
It was still fun, though. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The new mode. What was it called?
Last Man Standing?
March for Death?
March for Death.
Like
yeah. It wasn't even at all like Last Man Standing.
Oh, it kind of felt like it at times, though.
You
get a bunch of people defending you, and they're all going down, and you're just like, oh, man.
The start of the match, basically, guys, so you know how it works, a team member on your side and on the opposite team is chosen as a marked kill. It's kind of like a moving capture the flag, but all you have to do is shoot the flag in the head. So it's to 10 kills, and at the very start of our first match, I kind of realized, oh, this is why it's in beta, because it kind of felt like an old school game of dodgeball, where you all sort of at the very start just stand there and wait to be pummeled with these balls or try to catch the ball. So what would happen is you'd have kill on one side, kill on the other, kill on one side, kill on the other, until finally people started to fan out. And that was just our first match, but I felt like our other matches were a little more dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Once,
did you enjoy
once we got
it?
The hint, once we got the hint that grouping up kind of has its good points and bad points.
Well, it negates the whole point of the game, right? Because you're just going back and forth.
Yeah. Eventually, I mean, even our team, like, I think it was the second or third match, it got to the point where, like, two people were protecting the marked guy while the other two people were hunting down the other one. And that felt like it worked out a lot better than just five people meet in the middle and...
Yeah, and I think the crazy part about Titanfall and that mode is that it's made even more unique because you can call down Titans. So we were on Skype and we're like yelling at each other like, oh man, there's a new mark. Oh shit, the guy's in a freaking Titan, run, ah! You know, and
yeah,
one of us is getting stepped on by the marked person and the other one's trying to climb on his back to rip out its innards. I mean, that game remains fun, but it still has that issue I have with every first-person shooter online game, and that everyone's better than I am. Don't you agree, Josh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was doing pretty good.
we were all doing really good, but I think that it, to me, like online multiplayer games aren't my thing because I don't like the stress of it. I was having fun, but I was equally having moments where I was stressed out. That we were, like, losing, and I was like, you know. I think Titanfall has a good balance, but I just, at times, I just wanted to Alt F4 and never play the game again, because we were, like, getting dominated by certain teams.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that with most other games. With first-person shooters, it takes me a while, but I can eventually hold my own. But a lot of other multiplayer games, even, like, PvP and MMOs, I'm not exactly ahead of the curve, so I enjoy co-op moments.
That first level was brutal.
Oh, yeah.
That first match we played, because, I mean, that's the other thing about putting down a game for so long and it being multiplayer is that you get in there for the first time in I don't know how many months. I think it said the last time I played was May 31st, and I'm in there and everything's changed. I'm, like, discovering that they've, like, updated the UI a bit and added shortcuts for burn cards. And Yeah, it was a learning experience, but I think we eventually got there, and I have the DLC. I haven't tried it yet, though, so I'm looking forward to that. But it kind of required us all to have it, and I think we're playing with Lou. No, that's fine. You own it on Xbox. Do you have the season pass on Xbox?
Yes.
Oh, see, like, I don't want to make you buy the game twice and the season pass twice.
Oh, that's all right. I'm not going to buy the season pass again. Next time I'll just watch you guys. Oh, I can't watch you guys.
No, yeah. Not yet. Not until Origin fixes their shit. I'm the one that usually defends Origin. Ow. I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. That coffee, there's something in there. I'm the one that usually defends Origin, but I guess not tonight. Can't do it. Cannot do it.
So what about you, Ryan? What have you been playing?
That's a great question. I've had time for one game, and that game is Valiant Hearts. Yeah, it's about war. So, but stay with me, folks. It's about World War I. It's really good in the sense that it portrays World War I in a way, or any great war for that matter, in a way that no other game does. It is an adventure title made by Ubisoft using the UbiArt framework, which is what Rayman uses, Rayman Origins and Legends.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with those titles.
Yep.
Everybody is. They're great. If you're not, you should probably go pick it up. But no, Valiant Hearts is about a series of characters that interact with this dog. For the life of me, I cannot remember the dog's name, but he sure is cute. And the way the controls work is that you're controlling different characters, and you're interacting with objects and solving puzzles. So, like, you'll walk around with a control stick, and, like, there'll be interactable objects with using the X, A, Y, and B buttons. But if you hold down the left top bumper, you can sort of direct the dog around to interact with objects. So a majority of the puzzles boil down to two unique features. One of which is directing the dog to pick up an item and bring it to you. So there are instances where there's like chlorine gas or smoke that will instantly kill you, but you can send the dog to crawl underneath, grab the item, and bring it back. The other puzzle mechanic is maneuvering like platforms and moving layers and stuff, so you can manipulate objects using like lever things. And sometimes you have to direct the dog to do it, so you'll like go up or down or whatever. So those are the two main things. And yeah, Hylar in the chat room says it feels like you're playing a cartoon, and that's exactly it. And that's what makes this game so shocking, because it does not hold back. Not only is it displaying the brutality of trench warfare from World War I, but it is also very historically accurate in the sense that when you pick up collectibles, they are real-world items that were used in World War I. So the best example I can think of that actually happens in the first chapter is a urine-soaked rag during the first use of chlorine gas by the Germans in the Battle of Ypres, I believe. And funny enough, this actually involves Canadians. The Canadians actually helped come up with this unique way of protecting your lungs from producing sulfuric acid from the chlorine gas. And that actually helped them battle off the Germans, or at least, I don't know, whatever happened. But it reminded me of history class, and that was my favorite time in high school, was history for some reason. I know a lot of people don't like history, but for some reason I enjoyed it. Do you have any interest in Valiant Hearts? We were talking about this last night. I had mentioned that it was the only game I played.
I do. It's one of those games that I, like, when I saw it, you know, all the news on it and everything, I thought it was going to be a really great game.
Yeah,
And I'm very on the fence, and I was waiting to hear what other people thought about it, because, I mean, like you, I'm a huge history buff.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. The story looks very, like, I don't want to say touching as in, ooh, yay, but more, like, realistically dramatic, I guess.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, it certainly plays with its certainly plays with the whole like tone of what you would expect to see in a war video game. Like, for example, the enemies, as we know in World War One, were the Germans, but not Nazis. I'm right. pretty sure not Nazis. Nazis didn't come into play until like the 1930s. But in 1914, 1918, you were fighting the Germans in a couple other countries. But the main enemy is this Baron von Borff or something, and he cackles like you would expect a Nazi to cackle in a video game. And what I mean by that is, like, Nazis are portrayed as these super evil characters, but, you know, I don't think they actually cackled like that in real life. So the game portrays this very serious thing, and the one place they lose me is the German enemy. Even one of the main characters is another German soldier who showcases that both sides of war have their gray lines. Like, you know, one of the main characters is a father, and he is German living in Paris, and he is sent back. He's deported to Germany because the war is starting, and he actually fights for the Germans, and he ends up meeting his father-in-law on the field of battle. And it's not one of those, like, it's one of those touching moments where one of them, it's all, stuff happens, but it showcases that war has good and bad people on both sides. But I feel like still the Germans got the rough end of the stick because the bad guy is this evil, cackling, bad yeah. person, you know?
And yeah, I can kind of see how that would take it away.
It briefly takes it away, and I understand why they have to make one, like, somebody the evil guy. The evil guy can't be a gray line as well, but because then you're... I mean, look at Game of Thrones. You know, the evil people don't have a gray line. They're full batshit evil. Like, look at King Joffrey. He's batshit evil. He doesn't have a gray line. So I think maybe that's the best way to put it. But no, I'm really enjoying it, and, you know, you'll pick up collectibles, and it'll actually tell you the historical significance of that collectible. Sometimes it's something so so useful that it was used in battle, and other times it's like, this is the sixth type of identity tag that you picked up, and it has a short story about, you know, why the Canadians had their own ID tag and why it was replaced by a British one years down the road during the war. You know, and it goes from there. But the other cool thing is that every time you unlock a new chapter, it allows you to see these historical photos in color of World War One, and they do not hold it. They don't hold back. Like, they're showing the gruesomeness of trench warfare, and as a history buff, that's really cool. But also, like, never makes me want to go back to that time.
Yeah,
like 1914 sounds like a cool time, but not during World War One. But no, I highly recommend it. It's neat. I haven't beat it yet, but I'm looking forward to getting through it. And it's been a lot of fun. And sort of like you said about Guacamelee, kind of like a relaxing sit back. Well, not relaxing, but it is a sit back and play type game. It's hard to find war relaxing, but yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Did I convince you? You're going to pick it up?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll definitely pick it up. Again, I was just waiting on to hear something from a trustworthy source.
Oh,
trustworthy. It was one of those games that had a lot of hype behind it, so I was a little worried that the people who would initially play it would just kind of carry on with that hype, or they would judge it so harshly because they feel it didn't live up to this high horse that they put it on. So I'm just going to give it a little bit of time and then see what happens.
Yeah, in terms of the hype, it looks fantastic and it plays competently. It's not breaking the mold on adventure games. Yeah. It's not tugging on my heartstrings like a lot of people said it would. So if that's what you're hoping for, like, I guess it doesn't live up to the hype there. But it's certainly a sad game. I mean, war is never good unless you're playing, Call of Duty. Then it kind of fantasizes war, but this is by no means a fantasy of war. This is all out. There's even like some prisoner of war stuff in there multiple times. It's pretty gruesome. But it's good. It's a fun little puzzle game, and yeah. But it says here in the notes that you're returning to Final Fantasy XI. That seems like too far, man. Isn't 14 out? Like, did you miss a V? Are you sure?
No. I'm sure what I wrote.
Okay. Well, convince me.
Final Fantasy XI was the second MMO I've ever played. Mm. The first one was Star Wars Galaxies, but that one's no longer a thing, unfortunately.
No, that one got shut down, didn't it?
Yep.
I was just going to say, I got an email from Square Enix saying, come back to Final Fantasy 14, 17. If Square Enix survives long enough
Ryan's
to make
from
fun.
The future.
Yeah, I am. Canada's from the future. As said by Tom Merritt. Final Fantasy 14 for free this weekend. Probably rather play the Destiny beta. But I digress. Why are you playing Final Fantasy 11 again? Like, what system are you playing it on?
I have it for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of my friends, I think there's like one of my friend who's been still playing it since release, and he's got a couple of my other friends into it, so they're like, hey, you should come back, and I'm like, oh, I'll give it a try, why not? And they've made a lot of good improvements on it. Like, you can actually solo, which is a huge improvement from when it first came out, because that game was just all about groups of five, you know, bunkering down and just playing for hours on end, killing one mob at a time.
Yeah, the chat is saying that Final Fantasy XI is getting regular update, or 7. No, 7 is not getting regular updates. It got that Steam version, and that HD remake is not happening until Square Enix has $0 in the bank. Final Fantasy XI is getting regular updates. That's kind of very Blizzard of them, you know?
Well, so. They have a ton of expansions for the game.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't experienced any of the expansion content, just because when I was playing it over a decade ago, I was just starting up WoW at the same time, and WoW kind of pulled me away from Final Fantasy, because I could, like, I worked at an internet cafe, so I couldn't group up all the time, because I was working while playing. Mm-hmm. So for Final Fantasy XI, it was kind of hard to play that game while also working, whereas World of Warcraft, I could just do some quests, help out a customer, etc., etc., so...
Were you allowed to play while you worked at the internet cafe? Not that it matters. You can't get fired from a job in the past.
No, we were allowed to play. I mean, there was nothing else to do while you just sit there and watch the place. So,
We don't have a lot of internet cafes. Actually, we don't have any internet cafes here in town. And I live in a pretty big town, so.
Well, this one got shut down. They don't exactly make a lot of money, so.
Not anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. But you got out of there fine. You lived. So, what brought you back? You're just feeling nostalgic, or?
Yeah, pretty much. And there's plenty of changes to where I'm feeling like it's not a whole new game, but it's a game that I can get into, be familiar enough with it, where I'm not feeling like I'm learning something completely new, and it's going to take up a lot of time to completely learn this whole new game.
So if you're playing Final Fantasy XI, did you try Final Fantasy XIV?
Yes.
And did you enjoy that as much as your time with XI?
I probably enjoyed it more.
There you go.
Until the people that I played with stopped playing. I tend to migrate with my friends, since we all play so many different MMOs. Like, each month, it feels like we're just jumping into a different one.
So, yeah, that's why I stopped buying new MMOs, because I was doing the same thing with a group of friends that I play online games with, and I just felt like people don't stick around long enough for me to get into it, because I like pick it up slowly. It takes me a couple months to really get into it. You know, to start to kind of be like, I'm into it this enough that I'm not going to play other games. It takes me a while to get to that point. Like, I'm still, like, trying to juggle 3 or 4 games alongside the MMO. So people don't usually last that long. But, yeah, see, like, WildStar, like, went crazy for a month. Haven't really heard a hell of a lot from people.
Yeah.
People that I know asked me to play with them, you know? That being said, those people went to Nerdtacular and have come back from vacation trying to catch up on their work. But still...
Yeah.
I
fell in that boat as well with WildStar, where initially it was like, oh, this is a brand new game, it looks great, it's new, but I just couldn't stay with it.
I felt Elder Scrolls fell faster, I guess I want to say. Like, that came out, and I think it got unfairly judged by the gaming public, but it came out and just right flat on its face.
Well, I mean, I'd still rather play Elder Scrolls over WildStar.
Yeah?
Just because, I mean, with WildStar, I like the new ideas that they're bringing to it, but the overall feel to it kind of feels more like it should be a single-player RPG. I don't know what it is about it, but I didn't like the idea that it was an MMO.
Oh, I see.
But I really loved the story and the gameplay mechanics. I don't know. For some reason, it felt too different from an MMO feel for me to really hang in there with it.
So you would rather see Elder Scrolls be a Guild Wars type thing, where you buy the box and you get it. And there are microtransactions in there, but they're not too crazy. Like, is that what you'd like to see?
I think all MMOs, honestly, should follow that. Just because, I mean, $15 a month, you're pretty much saying every 4 months it should feel like you got a brand new game. Because essentially at $60, that's what you can buy. So I don't think, I mean, I think Warcraft kind of has so much content right now that if you just picked it up, then it would be worth it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to hold to that every 4 months it feels like I have a brand new game is a little tough to really get to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with MMOs. I think they're great. I don't have enough time to, like, get that $60 experience. When I buy a $60 single-player game, the chat room's distracting. They're kind of asking questions, but they're asking, ESO just dropped off the planet of the Earth, and they're asking about WildStar too. I feel like both sort of, like we said, kind of not disappeared, but WildStar had that, like, we're launching, then a week later, hey, our first content pack's coming, and then it's kind of been really quiet since then. And I mean, that doesn't mean it has to be loud. I realize it's very tough to keep on top of the news feed when it comes to, like, the big sites like Polygon and IGN, and it seems the only time they can do that is with new content. So I know that, you know, it could be tough to be in the limelight nonstop, but WoW never leaves the limelight because it's so big and that's your competition. And I think WoW sort of exists on it as its own beast, you know, like nothing's going to touch it. It's just, it's too big. And I'm not even a WoW player. But the reason I won't buy MMOs is because when I invest $60 in a single player game, I know that if I get super busy and can't touch it for a month or something more interesting comes along, like Valiant Heroes, which is a 10-hour adventure game, I can play that and then come back to my single-player game without having to worry about having to, you know, slot $15 into the machine to get, you know, my playtime. So that's kind of why I shy away from MMOs, because I always feel like I have to play it, you know? And I don't like that feeling at all. I hate it, in fact.
I understand. I know a lot of people who feel the same way. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, it's just kind of what I grew up on. When I really started delving into the online community, it was all MMOs. Like, I think I've played almost every MMO since Star Wars Galaxies, but most of it's been, I'll pay the $60, and for that first month, I'll kind of gauge where it is. I'll put plenty of time into it, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to keep going with it.
Yeah.
And just knowing that I have that game and the account, what my friends and I do will be like, oh man, you know what we really feel like playing? Oh, how about this game? All right, well, let's drop the $15 and for the next 30 days we can play it. We know we're not going to play it beyond the next 30 days, so we're not going to do a reoccurring subscription. It's just, we're like a flavor of the month type of group. So
yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense. And I mean, I remember when I was in high school, college, like WoW was my game because I had that time to sort of invest in it. But I also had other games going on at the same time because I wasn't busy. But now it's kind of like you have to choose your battles, right? And that being said, I would happily take a couple days off to just touch, you know, Warlords of Draenor once it comes out, which that, I worded that really weirdly. I think that I'll probably do that. I do it every time WoW comes out. I drop it after a while, but I don't know. WoW holds a special place in my gaming heart. I've said that before, but I don't know. MMOs, man. What they be talking about, right? Now, did you have to pay to play Final Fantasy XI back full circle?
Yes. They do it kind of weird, where the monthly fee is like $12, but a character slot is a dollar more. So essentially it's $13 a month. But the good thing that they have is that you can switch your job. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you really need a lot of characters like you would in WoW if you want to try every class. This one you just switch and you can try whatever class you want.
I remember that about Final Fantasy XIV because I had resubbed for Extra Life last year to play some a little bit on the live stream. And I could pay the like $12.99 because I only had one character. But speaking of Extra Life, we are going to be talking about that soon and getting those plans off the ground. But if you do want to preliminarily sign up for our team, it is extra-life.org/team/TGI, I think. That might be it. But if you go to Extra Life and search for Gamers in when you're creating your account for 2014, you can definitely join our team. Jocelyn has our goal set at 5,000, and I think we can do it. So let's do it. Let's get started. October is around the corner. But speaking of Extra Life, yeah, let's go with that. Jocelyn and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. And that brings us to the topic of the week. Talking about Xbox, not Xbox, but Microsoft making some job cuts affecting Xbox. And I figured what better reason to talk about Xbox One and their original TV programming than by having someone who owns an Xbox One. I doubt you bought it because it was going to have original TV programming, but it's still interesting nonetheless to talk to somebody who would have been there when it launched and was able to consume it. So what do you think about this news that they're shutting down Xbox Entertainment Studios, which was going to be responsible for this TV programming?
I'm not surprised, to be honest. It's unfortunate with the number of people that are getting laid off. I think it's like, 18,000?
It's in a huge number. It's like 15,800, which is crazy.
Yeah. That part of it is unfortunate. But, I mean, when Phil Spencer came on as head of Xbox, I mean, he clearly stated that their focus is going to return to games. Because there was, like, a couple E3s, or a couple years ago at an E3, like, all of Xbox 360 was just, oh, you can do Netflix, oh, you can watch movies here, oh, you can do this with friends and internet that, and there was, like, so little game content. And then Phil Spencer came on board and was like, yo, we're going back to games. So to hear this, I'm kind of not too surprised.
But are you bummed? Just a little bit upset?
I'm a little bit upset that many people are losing their job. I'm not that upset that portion of the company is going, just because my TV/movie entertainment comes from Netflix. Like, I didn't even know this existed until I looked it up, and I was like, oh yeah, the Halo TV series. I've heard about that.
Now, a couple things. You mentioned Halo. The Halo TV series and Halo Nightfall, which is a mini-series, are both still in production, which does not surprise me because Halo is Microsoft's flagship franchise. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they pull out... If the Halo TV series does well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Gears of War TV series come out with the new series of games coming. But that being said, like, they've canceled all the original programming that was in development, some probably that wasn't even announced. They're still producing Halo Nightfall and the TV series because we know that'll do gangbusters no matter where they put it. But you mentioned Netflix, and Netflix is well known now for their original programming. And what could you imagine your reaction if Netflix announced that we're not going to do original programming anymore? We're canceling our original programming. How does that make you feel?
I would be sad. Exactly. I mean, that's House of Cards. That's one of my... Well, I mean, if you look at it, though, I mean, Netflix is known for movies and television series. Like, that's what Netflix is. When I think of Xbox, I don't think of TV series. I think video games. So
that's a good point. But when you look at Netflix 5 years ago, what was it known as?
I don't even think I was looking at Netflix 5 years ago.
Exactly. So, but it was known as a DVD rental service that would mail you DVDs. Now, how crazy does that sound now?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
How crazy does that sound now that Netflix is doing streaming? And 5 years ago, they were in a completely different business model. And this original programming is just making their streaming even more successful. So I agree that Phil Spencer saying focus on games, super important. But that doesn't mean that they are going to stop completely focusing enough. Completely, they're not going to stop completely having like TV and media consumption on their systems. It's still going to be a thing that happens. But I sort of feel like they were, you know, spearheading this cool initiative with original programming, and then shooting it dead before they even figured out whether old Yeller was sick, you know. Like, at least, well, in that movie they confirmed, yeah, he's not gonna make it, guys. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's, spoilers, let's take him out back.
if you have to spoil alert, old Yeller,
I've never seen it. All I know is that the dog dies. I mean
it's no secret that Xbox One hasn't been performing as well as PS4, and even with the release of Mario Kart 8, the Wii U is starting to see a resurgence in sales. So,
yeah,
at one point, it kind of felt like Microsoft had to cut, and if you're looking at Microsoft as a whole, what are you going to cut? You're not going to touch the Windows OS, because that's everything PC for you.
Yeah.
So you look at the Xbox and you say, okay, well, what about this? Can we cut and still make profit from having an Xbox? So, I mean, I think even though original programming sounds great, I think it was, I just think I'm the low man on the totem pole. So
I agree with that statement. And I think that if, I think his name, the CEO, Sasha Nadella, was looking for something to cut, that was it. Like, you look at Xbox and like, what can we trim here? And obviously the distracting fat that's hanging around is this Xbox Entertainment Studios. I would still argue that they didn't give it the right amount of time to see if it had any potential, because Sony is keeping on strong with original programming. They're doing that Power series exclusive to PlayStation Plus. And they're going to follow through on it. I wouldn't say Powers is, you know, more exciting than the Halo TV series, but I always feel like Microsoft takes the ball and runs with it, but then, like, before they hit the touch line, before they hit the goal line, they just, like, kind of like, meh, and then toss the ball behind them and walk off the field. Whereas Sony, like, just, they keep going, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, look at the PlayStation Move.
Sony also released Square Enix. So, I mean, I think that was their big cut, where they said, okay, you know what, Square Enix, we're done with you. You're on your own now. So, they kind of had their own, except Square Enix can exist outside of Sony, whereas Microsoft Entertainment, whatever, television studios can't exist outside Microsoft.
I don't know if it was a spin machine that announced that squin. That's Square Enix being released, but basically it was a partnership with Sony and Square Enix that had ceased to be. Like, it wasn't necessarily like a handshake broken apart. It's like, okay, this partnership's done. Buy our shares. Because Square Enix was actually in a bit of financial trouble before the Final Fantasy series started coming out on PlayStation, something like that, and needed some money. So Sony bailed them out because they helped them so much with the PlayStation. So I understand that it's a very similar situation, but you're right. Like, Xbox Entertainment Studios, definitely something they could have cut. You got another thing in here mentioning that the other thing Phil did was, Phil, we're on first name basis here. He cut the Kinect. He made it sold separately. You could buy an Xbox One without a Kinect, and sales are up.
Yep. They haven't released any official numbers yet, but pretty much they're out there saying, hey, you know what, this is a good idea, to which the rest of the gaming community is like, well, yeah, we told you back before you released it.
Mm-hmm. So consumers, I guess, like options. Yeah. You know, like the Microsoft should be looking at what's happening now with Comcast in the States and saying, like, we should not do that. We should give them choice. You know, make sure there's choice there. That being, yeah, there's no other choice besides Comcast.
There's not an episode long enough for me to debate that whole.
Yeah, just, Comcast, yeah. Different show. So yeah, giving consumers choice. You know, look at the Wii U, and it's a similar argument. People were saying, like, oh, the Wii U's selling like crap, oh, the Xbox One's selling like crap. The company that responsible does something that people have been asking, in the sense of Wii U, it was release good games, and in the sense of the Xbox One, it was we don't want to buy the Kinect, and sales go up. It's a no-brainer. The real thing to watch is whether it keeps going. We're not quite at that point where we have that data for either Nintendo or Microsoft, but it will be interesting to see whether the Xbox One keeps selling, or really you were just getting those people who were waiting until the Kinect was gone or Mario Kart came out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, I don't see either of them plummeting, I guess. I think they both found what they needed to exist for much longer inside the gaming market.
Yeah, I agree. I think Microsoft's made some smart decisions. I, for one, enjoyed that Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn movie they did, and I kind of want to see what they do with the TV series and Nightfall. I think paired programming between different mediums is really neat. So, looking forward to it. Anything else to say on the Xbox One? Final thoughts? What do you have to say as an Xbox One owner? Yay, nay? You want to see what they do with this extra money?
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to all the fall releases, and they play my Netflix and they play my Twitch, so I'm all for it.
There you go.
Well, Xbox does everything I need for it.
There you go. And you own the Kinect.
Yes.
You do. Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of our show, but before we mosey on out of here, I want to remind everybody that if you want to show your TGI pride, head over to slashloot.com. That's S-L-A-S-H loot.com to grab yourself a Gamers Inn t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts, like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and of course, The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. Listener feedback. We got one little incy-wincy tweet from Brandon Ornelis, who says, really enjoyed the call-in episode. Can't wait for another. Brandon, thank you. I asked people to send in their comments. Most people who I talked to, all people I talked to, really, and asked them about it, enjoyed it. We'll definitely do it again. We just have to figure out Skype. Skype was being a bit of a dick that night.
Well, what I think it was is, I think in order to group call, they have to be on your friends list.
Oh, see.
Lou and I was on the friends list, and it worked perfectly fine.
True.
So
that's
true. I think that might have been it.
I mean, I've had instances, actually they had this on the morning stream where they were trying to do a similar thing. And what happened was, they were having the same issues where it was dropping everybody or putting Brian on hold. And I know for a fact that Scott has done it before on Final Score and the morning stream. So something must have happened. But anyways, we'll do some more tinkering and we'll get another call-in episode happening. Jocelyn actually popped in last episode to sort of give us an update on how her week was going. And she said, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So we'll definitely do it again, Brandon. And
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll give people notice too. So you know to be there to catch us live, because I know everybody can't catch us live on a Friday evening. One more thing before we go. Patreon. If you want to be a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/thegamersin. Like Unexpected Answers did. And he did not unexpect this answer, which was, thank you for being a patron. That was awful, and I promise never to do it again. If you want to be a patron to be involved with our Gamers in Game Night, actually be able to vote on games we play, go to patreon.com thegamersinn.com/thegamersinn. Josh, thank you for joining me. Sorry, did I spook you?
It was a pleasure.
You thought I was getting you in trouble?
I was chatting with the chat room. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're wondering where Jocelyn is. Yeah, she's not here today, but she will be back next week. She promised. No Smite. You wish we were playing Smite. No Smite tonight. I got work to do, but Josh may play Smite. No, Jocelyn is not here this evening. She'll be back next week, and we'll probably play Smite next week. So, Josh, where can the fine listeners find you?
You can catch me on the Any Key Gaming podcast. We shoot 7 p.m. on Saturdays, though I think tomorrow we're probably going to do 8 p.m. It is our 10th episode, so we're going to be doing a big old MMO episode.
That's why you were playing Final Fantasy XI.
Maybe. That's part of the reason. They dragged me into it. I blame my friends.
You could have plugged it. Special MMO episode. Yes. And they can catch it live just to remind them again and to remind me.
It's going to be the Aniki Gaming on Twitch. You can also follow me on Twitter at @_JDC.
Cool. Definitely check that out if you like your MMOs or if you don't. If you just want to troll the chat room and say, hey, MMOs are no good, Josh will ignore you. Thank you for joining us, Josh. Always a pleasant evening when you're involved on the show or in the chat room.
Thank you for having me.
You're always in the chat room, which is nice. I want to let everybody know that they should visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. I want to give a quick plug to something cool that I did this week before we head into the next paragraph of text. Check out sleepingwiththeelephant.com. We had Tom Merritt on the show. Paul and I talked to Tom about the Comcast call that you've probably heard of, and also Netflix, and Dudley Do-Right. Tom knows an awful lot about Dudley Do-Right. So definitely check that out at sleepingwiththeelephant.com. We just posted that episode, but I digress. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Josh at @_JDC, Jocelyn at @GISGamer, Ryan at @RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes will eventually be found on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. We are working on that, so you should totally go subscribe. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. Finally, email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Oh, there's one more paragraph, guys. Hang on. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffett for creating our music. Find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Jocelyn will be back.
Bye, everybody.